taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
When you're ready.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. Today, I have a special guest with me, Karen Schoen. Among other things, she is a patriot, a talk radio host, a marketing consultant, a journalist, an advocate, and citizen lobbyist, a public speaker, and yes, a teacher. Karen, welcome to the Constitution Study.
It is a pleasure to be with you, Paul. Thank you so much for putting this together. It's so important that people know and understand what the Constitution really is.
I absolutely agree, being that's what I do every day. Now, I came across an article of yours that was entitled, America Must Remain a Republic, Not a Democracy Run by Mob Rule. And this seems to be this American democracy concept, this idea, well, it seems to be one that has been talked about a lot in the last few months.
Well, I think it's been more than a few months because, can we do a little back step so we have a little understanding of where this is all fitting? Okay, first of all, I believe that we have to name our enemy. Who are we facing? Who are we fighting? And then we can understand why they hate the Constitution, because they have such a misunderstanding of it. So the enemy are the globalists in both political parties. So we're not anymore fighting Democrats and Republicans. We're fighting globalists and Americans. Globalists want the world to be owned and controlled by a small amount of people. And Americans say, wait a minute, we have a law that makes us all equal. It's called the Constitution. And the globalists could care less because they're globalists. They don't care about the American Constitution. Do you remember even when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was talking about it, and when they asked her what constitution she would have South America adopt, and she said, not the American Constitution.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. People are afraid of freedom.
Well, and it's funny because her argument was, if memory serves, that, well, it doesn't have enough explicit, specific protections. And I made the point at the time, it's like, no, it has broad standards. It has a set of standards that said, these are the general ideas. You don't need to specifically list A, B, C, and D if it's all covered by, you know, the government can only do these five things.
Exactly. And that is the major crux of their problem, the globalist problem, because they want the government to do everything. And our Constitution says, no, these are the items that you can do. That's it. You can't do anything else because everything else belongs to the people. And the people are allowing you to do those 18 things, 15 things, whatever amount, whatever is laid out. And it's laid out in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. It tells us in that article that we are guaranteed, let me get it.
It actually says that the United States is to guarantee to each state a Republican form of government.
Okay, now what does that mean? Does that say a democracy? No,
no,
it does not. It says a Republican form of government. What does that mean? Well, a Republican form of government is a government by representation. It was recognized that the farmer can't get off his farm and go to the town square and debate or talk about all of the regulations and rules. They appoint someone. They elect someone to go and represent them and their viewpoints. So it always struck me, Paul, as being very funny when you listen to these legislators say, well, I, no. No, you weren't there for I, you were there for we. We're the ones that sent you there because you said you were going to do X and we expect you to do X.
You know, it's funny. I have a talk I give quite frequently where I point out the entire power structure is inverted. You know, we think of of Washington, D.C. being in charge of everything. And in fact, there's a website that lists the agencies and departments of the federal government. And do you know that they list all 50 states as departments of the federal government?
No, they are not.
They are not.
But they are not. They are what we call sovereign states. What does that mean? Well, it means they run themselves.
It's funny because I point out that I'm not sure about the Florida Constitution, but I know in the Tennessee Constitution, the Article 1, Section 1, the very first words of the Constitution of the of Tennessee states, all power is inherent in the people.
That's right.
It's not something we didn't, it wasn't delegated to us. We didn't borrow it. We have it inherently. We delegate power to the states. The states delegate power to Washington, but we seem to focus completely on what's going on in the district of corruption, and we forget what's going on.
Right. You're so right. And we're doing that because that is what this coalescing of power under a few individuals has created. And that kind of reminds me of the Hunger Games. It's the Capitol where all the glitz and everything lie. And here are we out in the district, meaning a state, responsible for what? And they want to come in and take what we have. That's the other thing that people don't realize, how important the Constitution is, because otherwise these globalists want to own and control everything we have. Not their stuff, our stuff. I always said, if 1% of the population controls 90% of the money, then why aren't they sharing their money? What do they need to tax us for? They have all the money.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an amazing, because that makes an interesting point. You know, we're not a democracy. We have a republic where we elect representatives. I like to say we hire representatives. That's my term for it, because I think people should treat their representatives as employees, and every election is a job review. But it's specifically a constitutional republic where those representatives are bound by a supreme law, the Constitution of the United States, that says, even if you can vote for it, it doesn't matter if it's not within these sets of powers that you've been delegated.
Didn't we used to have a committee, or we had a group of attorneys that would say every time a law was being passed, whether or not it was constitutional? And then the left, the globalists, discovered that if you inundate the people with these laws that are thousands of pages, they'll pass them without reading them. Pass something without reading it. Would you, Paul, buy a house without reading the contract and going through and inspecting it and making sure that everything worked? Would you buy a car without test driving it? Why on earth would we want to accept a law that nobody read?
And as you've seen over the last few decades, they've realized that what they can't get through in normal legislation, they can wrap up in a omnibus bill. And it reminds me of a story. There was this father and his children came running in and they wanted to go see a movie. And the father asked, well, what movie? And they said, well, it's this wonderful, but it's an R-rated movie. Dad says, no, you're not allowed to see an R. But it's a really great movie. There's great special effects, great story. Yeah, there's a couple of bad words, but it's a really great movie. And Dad, trying to make a point, says, all right, let me think about it and get back to you. They come back an hour later, and he says, hey, listen, guys, I made you a fresh batch of brownies. It's wonderful. I used the best ingredients, the finest chocolate, the freshest eggs. Oh, just one little thing. It's got a little bit of dog dirt from the backyard in it. And for some reason, the kids didn't want to eat the brownies. But yet,
good point. I like that.
But yet all the time we have Congress going, look at this bill. It's got all these wonderful things in it. Only it doesn't have a little bit of dog dirt in it. It is mostly dog dirt with a little bit of goodies on top. And the American people simply lap it up every time.
No, you're a woof. Absolutely right. And that is the problem. And what the globalists have learned is they follow people like Edward Bernays, who was the father of marketing and advertising. He's the one that brought us Virginia Slims for the slim woman and the American breakfast of bacon and eggs and the American meal of hamburgers and fries. So they are heavy duty into marketing. Okay, let's put that aside. Then they are also heavy duty into word manipulation. And that's why, to me, one of the most important things that we must correct on a continual basis is America is not a democracy. America is a constitutional republic. The constitutional republic gives us the ability to be equal under the eyes of the law. If somebody robs you and somebody robs me, we and the robbers of whoever they are all treated equally. We are supposed to go through a series of steps, wind up with a jury of our peers, and we are all treated equally. However, what the globalists say is, we don't care. You're going to do what we say. Otherwise, we're going to censor you and put you in jail and make up lies about you and destroy your career and cancel you. And that was one of the things that I always teased about. My name is Karen. They cancel me all the time. I even wrote an article and I said, my name is Karen and I refuse to be canceled. We have to refuse.
And the interesting thing about the Constitution, you know, it is the supreme law of the land, Article 6, Clause 2. It supersedes, it supersedes state law and state constitution. It supersedes Congress. It supersedes the president. It supersedes the Supreme Court. Without a Constitution that protects our rights, whether it's a democracy or a simple republic, people can vote away your rights. Just imagine in today's culture where you not only have media companies that are denying the other side exists. It's all misinformation, it's disinformation, but you have everyday people that are upset. They're offended by anything that contradicts them and saying, you don't have a right to speak because I don't like what you're saying. And then how do you make decisions when only one side, only the approved narrative, is allowed to be spoken in public? You can't.
You can't.
You can't, which is why. But the thing I think many Americans, even people who recognize that we're a constitutional republic, the Constitution is ink on parchment. It's not going to get up like some Marvel superhero and start slapping people around. It is the rules by which we can exercise our rights. It is the protection that says when we speak freely and someone tries to infringe, we can stand up and say no. Or as John Jay said, we are prepared to defend and assert our rights.
And is that not why the Constitution can never be a living, breathing document? It doesn't change, folks. It doesn't change for one person because they're of some descent that may be different than somebody else's. That's not the deal. The deal is when you're in America, you're an American. Who cares where you came from? You're an American. We have one set of laws. We all have to follow them, and we all have to abide by them. And it doesn't matter what color we are, what ethnicity we are, what religion we are. It does not make any difference. In America, we all follow the same set of laws. Well, that's what they hate.
Right. At least it shouldn't matter. But, you know, the Constitution does change. There's an arduous process to make that happen. It requires Congress or a constitution of the states to propose amendments. Then it requires 3/4 of the states to agree to them. So we could deal with things like slavery. We could deal with things like infringing on the right of women to vote. We could even make what I believe are foolish decisions like getting the states out of the tax stream for the federal government or prohibiting the sale of alcohol. But we can change it. It's meant to be difficult, because if you change things too easily, you make unconsidered changes. I use the example of in both California and I believe in Florida, you have a ballot proposition process for amending your state constitution. Am I correct?
Yes.
Which means anybody that can get enough signatures can have people vote on changing the constitution. I believe it only takes a simple majority.
But no, how many? It's a two-thirds.
It is a two-thirds majority. So two-thirds of the people vote for it. But how many of them do you think have actually taken the time to consider what that amendment means and what that amendment would do?
I think in Florida they are doing that, because we have set aside and not voted for. That what happens with the amendments is that there is usually a lot of debate, and that's what's lacking. When you're just dealing with globalists, just as you said, and they only allow one side of the story, how can you debate? You can't. You can't show a pro and a con. And that's the most important thing. What is it about? What does it mean? What's this one? What's this one? We used to make a list and do the pros and the cons of each. And then you would be able to compare them and see which you prefer. And if you prefer to live in a globalist society, please move, because America is a constitutional republic, guaranteed. And if we let go of that, we let go of our freedom, because the representative, this is our fault also, because the globalists are so involved in marketing, they like to choose candidates that are pretty and vocal and dramatic and blah, blah, blah. So we fall in love with the candidate because look at her dress, look at his suit, look at his haircut, look at this. Oh, he's so handsome, blah, blah, blah. Well, look at Mr. Handsome in Canada.
Yeah,
that's what you get for voting for Mr. Handsome.
It's funny because I get news feeds from a lot of different sources, so I can try and get multiple sides to a story. And the one story that always pops up in my feed, and I'm always like, are you kidding me? You're wasting time with this, is the first lady's dress.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed how often, how many news articles are about, oh, look at this dress at the first, and the first lady was just so wonderful in this outfit. I'm like, why is that considered news? Because we judge on superficial means and we don't pay attention to what's actually going to impact your life.
Exactly. And people don't really understand the importance of not paying attention to the superficial and looking at the facts that are going to be now dictating their life. It was nice when we were living in a prosperous time and then you could turn to fashion, but not now. Not now. I don't care what Jill Biden wears. It doesn't mean anything to me. And although I always thought Melania Trump was a beautiful woman, I was more interested in what she was doing than what she was wearing. And that's our problem.
It's the magician's trick, right? Focus over here while the trick is done over here. And
exactly.
The sad part is, you know, out of 330 million Americans, there are a lot of them that are fooled by the trick. They say, like, oh, look at how pretty. And well, so-and-so said this would be a good idea. Why? I don't know. So-and-so said it. Or in my opinion, even worse, well, because this party supports it, therefore I support it. I'm like, and that's how we end up in this mess.
Yeah, my mother was a Democrat, and she'll kill me if I don't be a Democrat. Is your mother alive? No, she's not going to kill you. But if you vote for a Democrat, they may kill you.
Yeah.
So
and how free are you is if your mother was human, and even considering the fact that your mother's Democrat isn't anything like today's Democrat. I mean, let's face it, JFK could not even get a shot at a presidential nomination. He wouldn't be allowed in the primaries in today's Democratic Party.
True.
Right. True. Same thing. Right. My father voted Democrat for decades. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's, you're talking Kennedy. You're going to compare Kennedy to Biden?
No. In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And that, you're right. That's the problem. So we have to educate the people and make sure that people understand what they are actually voting for. Do you think if people understood that the infrastructure bill would put a mileage tax on their car, a cutoff switch in their car, so that the government could monitor your driving and shut off your car if they didn't like the way you were driving, or if you didn't have enough social credits, maybe you wouldn't even get to turn on your car? That is in the infrastructure bill.
Yep. I've covered parts of that. And it's funny, just like communist China, exactly like communist China. But oh no, we're still going to be a democracy. You know, anybody else notice that East Germany and North Korea were democratic republics? The official name of East Germany was the German Democratic Republic, and it is the Democratic Republic of North Korea.
There is that democracy, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm reminded of a couple of quotes from our founding fathers on democracy. They refer to it as, when it lasts, it's more bloody than either aristocracy or monarchy. Democracy is nothing more than mob rule. And my personal favorite comes from Benjamin Franklin. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
Yes, that is a good one. And that is very true. And I don't think people understand that either. Democracy means you have a majority, which is only the half plus one. So if you have, like John McCain did not vote for the Obamacare, he didn't vote to repeal it. He was responsible for our health care today. One person. That's what happens in a democracy. And that's why our founders said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something different. We understand the people can't be there all the time. We don't want them to be swayed by making mistakes. So each person will have representation, and they'll be able to interact with that representative, who will then go to their state house or their town. Let's not forget local, because first we were going to our town councils and we would vote councilmen in and mayors, et cetera, et cetera. And that was how the hierarchy was created. But we, the people, it even says, give our permission to create the federal government. Now, if you give someone your permission, can that person lock you out? No, you allowed them to be there.
Yeah. We created you. We can take you out and create another one just like you.
Exactly. And that is the redress of government, which we can do peacefully. And the horror is, and the good thing is, so it's good and horrible, I think, at the same time, is that the globalists are exposing themselves for the true communists that they really are. And all we have to do is turn our eyes to Canada, listen to Justin Trudeau, listen to what he's saying. I declare that I am going to use emergency power. Oh, really? What's the emergency? I don't need to have that's against the law. You have to have an emergency in order to invoke emergency power.
We don't have to go that far. All we have to do is look at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You have a president that said, I'm going to order businesses to require vaccines. I'm going to order private businesses to require vaccines. I'm going to require this. I'm just going to, whether it's constitutional or not, I'm just going to sign an order and I'm going to rule from on high. And the that's what ends up happening. I mean, George Washington predicted, if we depend on political parties, you end up with one person ending up being the champion, and you end up in such in the exact type of despotic government we are rushing pell-mell into. Karen, before we run out of time, can you tell my audience where they can find out more of what you're working on?
Well, I also have a radio show on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, and it's called The Prism of America's Education, because all the things that we have been talking about right now are a result of a poor education. And that's been going on for the last 40 or 50 years. So it is no surprise that our current children can't read, write, and do math and have no idea what America is. And now more than ever, it's so important to know about the Constitution. I also write articles for News with Views and multiple other newspapers. And I have been going around. I spent a lot of time going around and speaking in different communities, although I have been focused lately on Florida because we have a wonderful governor and we have school boards and rhinos that think that doesn't matter if he's only going to be there for 4 years, we'll get rid of him and we don't have to pay attention to him. So they are doing to Governor DeSantis what Trump's Congress did to him. And we're working on not letting that happen. And believe it or not, these are all Republicans.
Oh, I believe it. I don't trust either party. A pox on both their houses, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, they are definitely that.
Karen, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure having you on here today. I do have to head off to a break, but I want to remind my audience, they can check out my online Constitution study. You can try it out absolutely free. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/study and you'll find out more about it. You can sign up, you can join the free study, and you can listen to and watch the recordings all just by going to constitutionstudy.com/study. Also, please head over to healthycell.com. You know, with all this craziness, living a healthy lifestyle is not as easy as we would all like. And sometimes, well, we got to take some vitamins and some supplements to live a better lifestyle. And the Healthy Cell has reinvented the vitamin. I love taking the Immune Super Boost, especially when I'm on the road, especially when my immune system is under extreme stress. You can try it now. You can get 20% off your first order. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, that's healthycell.com. Use the code OUTLOUD at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Dr. Peter McCullough, if you go to healthycell.com, you can check out the technology, the products of Healthy Cell. These are very innovative products. They are a form of bio-nutraceuticals that are bioactive, and they come in a variety of categories. One is daily essentials, which are the bioactive multi and the vegan essentials. And then the next category is performance. And this is the REM sleep supplement. I've talked about it a lot. I think it's very effective and I recommend it for myself and for my family, but as well as my patients. I'm having great luck with this because it is such a terrific product with a blend of, I think, is what's needed for not only promoting sleep, but also getting quality sleep. And when gets quality sleep, then there's restfulness, and the next day is better, and then the next night is better, and it becomes a progressively positive cycle for the human body. And the next product in the performance category is Focus and Recall. Focus and Recall. And I think that is the featured product that is coming into play for those with long COVID and brain fog that develops after COVID-19, the respiratory infection, but also after COVID-19 vaccination. So go to healthycell.com and check out the products. And in the promotional code, use the term OUTLOUD for 20% off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutloud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back there, Everyday Americans. I am glad you could stick with me. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the program. We were talking with Karen Schoen. We were looking at this question of democracy versus a republic. And I've talked about it quite a bit lately. I think it's a very important discussion. But as I was talking to Karen, part of what I was thinking about was, how did we get to the point where so many people misunderstand what type of government we have, that we're a republic, not a democracy, and why that's important? And I think, as so often happens, so many things boil down to our education. For example, we've talked before about what's been going on in Canada and the Freedom Convoy. Well, on CBC Radio, that's the Canadian Broadcasting Company Radio, a George Washington University associate professor criticized the concept of freedom. She said, freedom was a slippery concept. She went on to claim that on the far right, individual freedom is often translated into somebody who refuses to be bound by norms of equality, treating all people equal, or norms to remedy inequality, whether that's trying to remedy racial discrimination or gender discrimination. And I think I see the point. You see, apparently this associate professor, this Elizabeth Anker, well, she doesn't believe in rights and liberty and freedom. She believes in conformity. Now, listen, I believe that people should be treated equally. We should treat people equally. The problem I have is who defines the norm she refers to. See, she thinks of it as a far-right version of freedom, what she calls a violent freedom, when people actually, stand up for the word rights. When they stand up for their rights, when we have legally defined rights and we stand up for them, apparently that's just right-wing. Because it doesn't conform with the norms that she wants them to conform with. Then in an opinion article published by Globe and Mail on February 8th, complained that conservatives appropriated freedom to oppose vaccine mandates and other COVID-related restrictions. You see the point? Are you starting to see the wordplay? Yes, we didn't appropriate freedom. Freedom says, leave me alone. Freedom says you have to prove that I'm a danger to society before you can infringe on my rights. But they don't want to do that. They simply want to have some bureaucrat state, nope, you're a danger and we're going to infringe on your rights. You see, Anker and I believe the author of this article, Perry, they have a view of freedom that says, I get to do what I want, and anybody who disagrees with me is anti-freedom or has appropriated freedom. Their freedom tends to be very one-sided, one-directional. They believe freedom is conformity. But that's the antithesis of freedom, isn't it? If just because somebody says something is normal, you're not allowed to challenge it, you're not allowed to disagree with it, well, then that's the antithesis of freedom. I would encourage both these people to pick up a dictionary. Does that mean I have a right to harm someone else? No, it does not mean I have a right to harm someone else. Neither does it mean they have the right to harm me because they disagree with me. Or take, for example, a bill recently introduced to the House of Representatives that would declare unconstitutional, I'm sorry, unconditional war on racism. It was a Freudian slip because what they're calling for is unconstitutional. But they would declare unconditional war on racism and establish a Department of Reconciliation. Oh, great. Another new, completely illegal, unconstitutional federal department to infringe on your rights. See, over 30 members of the House have signed on to this bill. Now, the document states that, quote, whereas racism and invidious discrimination like poverty in 1964 remain pervasive in our country. Where is it remain in pervasive? You know what remains pervasive? It remains pervasive in university administrations. It remains pervasive in the halls of politics. It remains pervasive in the cities and government programs that judge everybody based on the color of their skin. And now they want to create a cabinet department, euphemistically, hilariously, ridiculously named the Department of Reconciliation, when the apparent purpose of this department is to continue to drive a wedge between the races, to make everything about race. It's the same logic that says critical race theory is about getting rid of racism when it's all about establishing racism. Don't listen to what these people say. Look at what the bill does. The bill says if you don't toe the progressive party line, then you are racist and therefore we have to reconcile you. It invokes the death of George Floyd, completely ignoring the fact that the person who killed George Floyd was found guilty by a jury of his peers and is facing a rather long stint of incarceration. How is that racist? What's racist is this continued drumbeat of race. I thought when we elected a black president, that was over. He told us it was. I guess he was wrong. Because every time we stop judging people based on the color of their skin, there are people who come in and say, it's racist not to judge people by the color of their skin. This is another illegal, unconstitutional department to continue to further the cause of racism. And it's unsurprising that the 30 members who have signed on to this are part of the same political party that has been racist since its inception, the Democratic Party. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm no fan of the Republicans either. But take a look at the history of the Democratic Party. Doesn't surprise me one bit. They have judged people by the color of their skin since before the Civil War. No wonder they don't want to, you know, they want this. Well, you know, we can't have freedom. We can't have a constitutional republic. We have to implement things because even though they provide no evidence, they just say it's true. You know, that sounds like a five-year-old to me. And that's the level of logic that's being used to put together these ridiculous, divisive laws. I don't care what title you call it. This is about dividing the American people. The question is, will the American people stand for it? And then you've got Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas and Transportation Secretary Buttigieg. They were telling the Canadian leaders, use your federal powers to resolve the situation at the border. Let's ignore the fact that the reason they have a situation at the border is because these tyrants in Canada have used their federal powers to infringe on the rights of their people, and the people are fed up with it. Nope. We don't care about that. We care about, you know, it makes us look bad. And I'm sure members of the Biden administration are hoping that this doesn't come to the United States. But this is what we see. We see we see tyrants bullying those who disagree with them. See, they don't believe now these same people were more than happy to cheer and support and bail out those who rioted, who burned cities, who burned cars, who looted, who stole, who assaulted, who murdered. But you see, they were the right type of anarchists. But now it's saying, nope, you need to use your federal powers. How about you use your federal powers to realize people don't want this anymore? And if you work for the people, maybe it's time you start backing off and stop acting like petty little dictators. I don't expect it. I really don't. Because if we look at society, I've been warning about this for, a little over a year now. But what we're seeing is, it's amazing how close we are moving to the standards of communist China. I found an interesting article here noting how the U.S. government is moving us and society as a whole closer and closer to China's social credit system. Now, sure, they're being helped a lot by a lot of the big tech companies, the ones that say we don't like people who disagree with us, so we're going to shut them off. We're not going to let them post. We're not going to carry their content. We're going to steal their money. Yeah, that was GoFundMe. Because if you don't support the right things, we're going to shut you down. America is becoming a totalitarian government, a totalitarian country, right before our eyes. And what are the American people doing about it? So most American people I see and I talk to are praying someone will come save them. They're praying somebody will stand up and protect them, which is part of the problem. Or look at this. You want to talk about social credit, the social credit system? Executive Order 13990 wants to set up a reinstate a working group to study the social cost of carbon, of nitrous oxide, of methane. They want to establish a social cost for the for quote unquote climate change. Think about that for a second. A social cost for climate change. This is the same administration, by the way, that wants to put complete control in your car. They want to put a device in your car that they get to determine whether or not you are safe to drive. And if you can't pass that test, they won't allow you to drive. You really think this is limited to alcohol consumption? Now, are there potential costs of greenhouse gases? Yes. Some of those costs are good. Some of those costs are bad. But as well, we're sitting here watching the federal government use political propaganda to take away the rights of the American people, most people sit back and are doing nothing. Well, there was a group that filed suit. They filed suit in, I believe it was in Louisiana. Let me look this up here. They filed suit in the Western District of Louisiana. See, it was the state of Louisiana is actually suing the Biden administration for implementing what they call the Interagency Working Group on Social Costs of Greenhouse Gases. Let's worry less about the social costs. What are the real costs? What are the physical costs? And what is it? Why is it their business anyway? Well, they sued. And a federal judge has issued a preliminary injunction to halt one of these key initiatives in President Biden's climate debacle. And that is, how do we put social pressure to get people to conform to our will? How do we bully people into doing what we want? This is nothing new. But again, you have the, remember, we're dealing with, the social cost of climate change. Tell me, what is the social cost of, say, the last, dozen or so years that people have been running around like crazy going, the world is warming and we're all going to die? What's the social cost from Al Gore's prediction in 2009 that the North Pole would be ice-free by 2013. Didn't happen. Or the United Nations environmental director that claimed half a century ago that there were just 10 years left before we were all die. That didn't happen. What about the social cost of all of these laws and regulations costing us not just money, costing us lives, costing us our future? We don't worry about that. But you see, the American people said, oh, see, he's just a doddering old fool who wants to play with his climate change. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get a court to protect us. That's the problem. See, there's nothing about climate change that is to regulate climate change that is delegated to the United States. None. Now, whether it's the right place to do it or not is not the question. It is not legal. So tell me, rather than sitting back and waiting for a district judge to put in an injunction, and of course, then we're going to have a circuit judge, and probably a circuit judge is going to change their mind, and it'll probably end up at the Supreme Court. How about the states just say, you know what, DC, we never authorized this. Shut up, sit down, stay within your lane. It truly is time the American people demand that they personally and their states start standing up to the bullies in Washington, D.C. And I'm not just talking about the social change of carbon dioxide. I'm talking about this entire trend toward what appears to be more of a social credit system. Where if you don't think the right way, talk the right way, act the right way, well, those in the White House are going to turn you into social media to have you deplatformed, have your content restricted. See, they don't care about freedom. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the Bill of Rights. They don't care about the First Amendment. They don't care about your freedom of speech or freedom of press. They want to judge you based on their idea of what is socially acceptable. We're turning into China right in front of our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. And what are you doing about it? See, if all you're doing is sitting back and hoping and praying that some federal judge, a federal employee, will protect you from the big bad federal government, you're standing firmly planted with your feet firmly planted in midair. Because then you don't have a republic anymore. You have an oligarchy. And your only hope is that the different oligarch groups fight each other enough to leave you alone, or at least not bother you too much. See, it's not simply, are we a democracy or are we a republic? Yes, that is a question that needs to be answered properly. The question truly is, has the experiment in self-government Washington talked about, has it failed? Because if the American people can no longer govern themselves, who can govern? If the American people can no longer consent to the power of government, but the government will take whatever power it wants to do whatever it wants, to declare unconditional war on quote unquote racism. The very racists that see races everywhere are going to declare unconditional war. They've got no law to do that. They've got no legal authority to do that. Sit down, shut up, and stop proving you're such an idiot. How about supporting your oath to the Constitution once in a while? How about stop using climate change to promote a progressive agenda? If you've got evidence, and I mean real evidence, not this nonsense of, oh, well, you know, some scientist took a federal grant to find climate change, and surprise, surprise, they found climate change. There's no scientific studies. The studies are manipulated. They're based on models that have been proven to be flat out wrong. I'm sorry, if you have been wrong so many times, why do I listen to you? Why would I listen to the IPCC? Until they start coming out with data that actually comports with reality, that actually is proven over time, you're Charlie Brown's mom. You're Charlie Brown's teacher, right? Wah, 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 wah. You are moving your lips, and you have every right to move your lips. But nobody should listen to you. I'm sorry. It seems like we're run by a village of idiots. And I don't know which is worse. The fact that we have a village of idiots that try to run this country, or that it seems to be so many of them, so many people, of the American people, are willing to follow them. Now, before I go, there's one other piece of information I want to throw at you, because this is the other trick they use, right? So we're going to declare unconditional war against racism, or, you know, we're going to deal with the social costs. We're going to use propaganda to get our way. Well, there's another sneaky little thing they like to do, again, to avoid the Republican form of government, the representative form of government. You see, once again, we have what's referred to as must pass legislation being used to hide nasty, dirty, rotten stuff. Like I said in the first half, right? The brownies with the dog dirt in it. You see, they're hiding in this quote-unquote must-pass legislation to turn the federal government into the providers of drug paraphernalia. Drug dealers. They want the federal government to do. Now, if you or I did this, put together the pieces for crack pipes and gave them away, you know what would happen? We'd go to jail. Well, it's about time those in the Senate that are starting this, they get charged. Well, all right, you can't actually charge somebody in the Senate for being stupid. You can't question what they do on the floor. But I'm sorry. This is selling drug paraphernalia. They're giving it away. This is trafficking in drug paraphernalia. I thought that was a federal crime. And it's, again, we're dealing with not just the Senate and the House, which, you know, they have immunity from questioning what they say on the floor. But this is the executive branch as well, and they have no restrictions. They want to spend $30 million of your dollars to become drug paraphernalia traffickers. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows them to do this. It's a violation of federal law. But you see, we no longer act like a republic, because our representatives, no, at least not a constitutional republic, because our representatives no longer follow the Constitution. I want to see. You know what I want to see? I want to see I want to see governors. See, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's against the law in most states to traffic in drug paraphernalia. So I want to see governors saying, listen, anybody that does this is going to get arrested and charged for trafficking in drug paraphernalia. The fact that the federal government gave you the money doesn't make it legal. And I want to see the American citizens pressuring their county, their state officials, their city officials to actually enforce the laws against drug paraphernalia trafficking, even if it's from the federal government. See, that's the weird thing. Most people think that the states can't push back. Yes, they can. If they break federal law, I'm sorry, if they break state law, federal agents can be arrested. If they break local laws, county laws, federal agents can be arrested. It's time we start arresting people. It's time we stop hoping that, well, those in the Senate will get in the way. Yeah, that's their job. I hope they do. But let's not be dependent on a bunch of lying weasels in Washington, D.C. Because how can you tell when a politician's lying? The answer is their lips are moving. So let's stop trusting them. Let's stop hiring them. Let's stop trusting them. Let's put honest people in office that will stand up to the criminal activities that are being done in our name. You see, there's more to being a republic than showing up every couple of years and voting. It means taking responsibility for who you hire to exercise your sovereign power in your name. It doesn't mean just showing up and voting for them, hiring them or not hiring them. It means being in their face. It means making sure that the officials are more afraid of you than they are the special interest groups. It means the representatives are more afraid of the people than the corporations. And the only way to do that is to act. See, that's the part of the republic that we seem to get lost. Yes, a republic means you vote for representatives. That means they work for you. And that means it is your job to hold them accountable. And until you do, you will continue to sit back and watch while our once glorious republic slides into despotic tyranny and we sell our children's future for a bowl of stew. And then we whine and complain when our birthright of freedom and liberty and rights are gone because we sold them. And then what will our children say when they realize that we gave away the store because we were too lazy to actually be citizens of a free and constitutional republic? Now, you can find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com. Take a look under shows or our schedule, and you'll find the Constitution Study. Share it with friends. Share it with family. Be in the know and spread the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.